Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
Praise the Lord. All right, so please turn your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 14:23. Today I'm going to be doing a teaching on the gift of tongues. And the reason I want to do this is because one of the worst things that can happen to a church is that the church is made to do what they do not understand. Because I want to tell you, the character of Satan is consistent. Because he's a spirit, he's predictable. He has not changed. The Bible calls him that old serpent. Do you understand what I'm saying? Letting you know that he's referring to the same person and with the same consistent evil character. And so if the devil, the first time we see the adversary in the Bible, he came on account of something that God said. And he came to Eve, who was not really grounded in the instruction, and said, "Did God really say?" So I want you to know that anything that is not properly established in the church doctrinally is leaving a loophole for the devil to come and puncture the convictions of people. Are you listening to me? This is very important. That if it is not properly explained, the devil will now come puncture the convictions of people. And listen, even if then eventually there is a rebuttal, one law of doctrinal establishment is that the teacher must get in there first. The word of God must get in there first. The church is used to doing damage control, unfortunately, because we don't take doctrine serious until there's a problem. Until someone teaches something that goes against the major tenets of, you know, the church doctrine. And when we feel it affects us, then we begin to gather conferences to address it. What we should have established before. And so these things happen with tongues. If you're not careful, one day you will watch a YouTube video and you just begin to wonder, have I been wrong? Am I doing the wrong thing? Because no one took time to really explain this beautiful heavenly gift to you. And that's why we want to do what we are doing, because praying in the spirit must be done in precepts and in practice. You must understand the doctrine behind it. Come on, are you with me? Oh, come on, I said, are you with me? And the reason why tongues in particular must be explained is because tongues gift is not like any other gift. Every other spiritual gift is self-explanatory. You don't need to explain power. Come on, are you with me? If you gather people into a room who have never had any prior religious experience, and then the power of God manifests, and maybe one of them is healed, or a demon leaves someone, immediately they will be left with a conviction that is as close to the truth as possible. They will say there is a divine being. They will tell you there is God, or something like that. I'll never forget, someone came here with one of our relatives who hadn't been to church in a while. And before I started preaching, I turned to face the side of the hall. He was pointed. I said, there is someone here, mentioned his age, mentioned everything he was going through. And after the service, he came fuming to his sister. Why did you talk to your pastor about me? And she said, I did not. And then she mentioned something that I said that even she didn't know. And therefore, it had to be the Lord. And so, I mean, it left him puzzled. Well, you might read it in a book that God speaks. When it happens to you directly, it's another different thing. Come on, are you with me? You know, something happened 3 weeks ago. When I was in Dallas, the Lord had spoken to a lady that he had called her to ministry. But She wanted confirmation. So she came for a program I was preaching in Dallas, you know, and she was praying, God, tell him. And, you know, I don't know why people do that. If God has called you, he has called you. Do you understand what I'm saying? If God confirms it that way, it's messy. It's just in a hall full of people. And I preached 3 days, left the place, came back to Nigeria. Now, in retrospect, I believe that the Lord wanted her to prepare more. That's why. What you don't need now is what you need now is not confirmation. You need more preparation. And then months after, I'm going about my business on my way to go and preach for another church in the vehicle. And then the Lord speaks to me about this lady. We are not close. We have never talked on the phone before. So she's not someone that will come to mind normally. Are you with me? And the Lord said, tell her there's a call on her life. So because I didn't have a number, I went to a DM and said, Madam, are you aware the Lord has called you? And it hit her like a lightning. She began to cry. I mean, it's one thing for you to expect it. It's another thing for it to actually happen. So every other spiritual gift is self-explanatory. But tongues, and what I mean self-explanatory is, if you don't have any doctrinal exposure or training, if you encounter it, you're going to understand it. But tongues needs to be explained. So I asked you to open the text. What text is that? All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23. Let's read it. He says, therefore, Paul is speaking, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your minds? He's saying that if people come together and they're speaking in tongues, and someone who doesn't understand tongues, who has never been taught closer lalia, never heard what it is, should just step into the room, you think you're out of your mind. All these guys are crazy. There is nothing that provokes a culture shock in the church like tongues. But he doesn't stop there. He says, but if all prophesy, and an unbeliever who is uninformed comes in, he is convinced by all, convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and he will fall on his face and worship the Lord and report that truly God is among you. Do you understand what we just read? So he's comparing the unbeliever's reaction to prophetic gifts. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. And he's putting that paripasu, tongues. If people are speaking in tongues and someone doesn't understand it, you'll just be like, these guys are crazy. But when by a prophetic gift, you reveal the secrets of a person's heart, he said he will fall to his face and say, God is here. Does that mean tongues are not good? No. It just means they need to be explained. Please, are you with me? And that's why he took time to explain it in the Bible. And that's what we want to do as quickly as possible. There is another place where unbelievers came in contact with the gift of tongues. In fact, the first time people spoke in tongues. Remember what happened there in Acts chapter 2. Look at what Peter had to explain. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 15. Acts chapter 2, verse 15. This was his rebuttal. This was his explanation. He says, for these are not drunk as you suppose. Meaning, they saw these people speaking in tongues. They observed it from their logical mind. And then their conclusion is, these guys were drunk, but they were wrong. Come on, are you with me? So what I'm trying to show you here is this. The tongues gift is not something you can observe from your natural mind and understand. You cannot tell that tongues is correct just by hearing it, just from the tone. You cannot. You cannot tell by observation. You cannot examine it in a test tube or with a stethoscope or with binoculars. You can only understand it by properly understanding what God has said about it. No other way. You must learn about it deliberately to understand it. If you hear, say, I hear. So the first time tongues was ever done, the unbeliever said, they're drunk. And Paul had to explain, these are not drunk as you suppose. Meaning without explanation, at least there are two possible biblical outcomes of an unbeliever hearing tongues and trying to understand what is happening. You either think you are mad or you are drunk. By the way, that's a question for people who say tongues in the Bible was done in human languages. You can never hear someone speak French and think the person is mad or drunk. There's nothing mad or drunk about that. So think about it. We'll still talk about that more next week. But that tells you tongues, even in the Bible, must have been what the logical mind will interpret as gibberish. Yes or yes? Very simple. There is nothing mad about 120 people in a place praising God in different languages. Neither is there anything drunk about that. It means that there is more to Acts chapter 2 than meets the eye. But that's not where we are going yet. All I want to establish here is this. To everyone who has questions about tongues, you can be wrong. You can suppose that we are all drunk and be wrong. Not only can you be wrong, you are. And so you must take away your bias and go to the Word of God to learn objectively about it. And so the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, Paul speaking, he said, concerning spiritual gifts, I will not have you uneducated. I will not have you ignorant. You know, so now, he has made provision for the fact that when we are speaking in tongues, people who are ignorant may come in. But now he's saying they should not stay ignorant. So the fact that he's telling the church to be conscious that there are people who occupy that room of the unlearned, who don't have any prior religious experience, who have had misconceptions about tongues in the past, doesn't mean that it's okay for people to stay ignorant. He wants you to learn about it. And for him to say, I will not have you ignorant, it means that for you to stop being ignorant, deliberate, intentional, didactic teaching will have to be done. Which is what he went on to do. Amen, somebody. So now, the same way Paul said, I will not have you ignorant, I want to say this to you and to the body of Christ. God will not have you ignorant. You better learn about it. Take time to study about it. And so we want to ask and answer questions, I think, beginning in this service, then we'll continue midweek service and next week Sunday. Next week Sunday, we're going to have a special miracle service. Don't miss it. Amen, somebody? Amen. Do you know what that means? Come ready next week, okay? All right, let's move on. So, we want to ask and answer questions about tongues. Number one, is speaking in tongues for everybody? Listen, normally, the first question I would ask would be, what is tongues? How can I speak in tongues? But listen, the reason I want to start with this, these first two questions, number one, is speaking in tongues for everybody? Number two, why is it important? It's because no matter what I define tongues to be from the Word of God, if you are not interested, you are not interested. Did you ever sit in any class in school and just from the communication, you knew that you will never apply what they are teaching you? If you cannot relate, you didn't school in this country. Now, subconsciously, when you know that what they are teaching you, you will never need in this life, what do you do in your heart? You lose interest. And when you lose interest, even if at best you read it later, it is to pass. And so I want to start with what is called justification of the study. You need to know first and foremost, is it for everybody? So even if someone can explain didactically from the Word of God what tongues is and how important it is, well, is it for everybody? You know, I was talking to someone about the tongues gifts about 7 years ago. And then he said, but this great man of God never spoke in tongues. I have a lot to say about that. My conclusion is, wow, he went that far without tongues. Imagine how much more had he spoken in tongues. If God, in his wisdom, taught a gift necessary for the church, don't tell him it's not. Stop trying to prove to him that you can do without it. Because now you're saying he gave you something that you don't need. You don't have enough wisdom to come up with that conclusion. Please, are you listening to me? So, first we're going to talk about, is tongues for everyone? That question is funny. To me as an individual, I've never been that kind of person to ask such a question. Because if there are 10 people, only 10 people who will speak in tongues, I'm looking for the other 9 because one is taken. Because even if I show you from the Word of God and there is no such proof, from the Word of God that is not for everybody, so you disqualify yourself. I don't know how people think. I've never been that guy. Me, I'm in a boat. My mate will come out and walk on water. Then I'm standing saying, I've never been that guy. You will never catch me, darling. Never. Things of God. Hallelujah. As Peter does like this, he will see me in front. He will catch up. Oh. Hallelujah. Is speaking in tongues for everybody, and why is it important? I want to try and be as detailed as possible with this. So even if these are the only 2 questions we answer today and then we continue some other time, it's fine. Now, let's look at that text that we started reading. Acts chapter 2, verse 15. Peter is giving his response to the suspicions of people. And he said, "These are not drunk as you suppose, since this is but the 3rd hour of the day." He says, "But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." Now, pay attention. He's saying, what you are seeing is the fulfillment of the prophet Joel. And what prophecy is that? Joel said, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says the God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." What did Joel prophesy? "I will pour out my spirit on pastors. I will pour out my spirit on bishops. I will pour out my spirit on apostles." What did he say? On all flesh. Oh my God. You have to understand, Peter is talking to a people who are not strength to the miraculous, or strength to the prophetic, or strength to even supernatural utterance. Listen, these things were so common that when Saul discovered that his father's donkey was missing, he said, "Let's go to a seer. He will tell us where it is." That's how common it was. Revelation gifts and utterance gifts were common in those days. But the difference is this. Those things were exclusive to the religious elites. You had to be a king or to be given some form of special duty as a prophet or a priest for you to have the Spirit upon you. Now, Joel comes and he He sojourns into the future prophetic plan of God. And God, through Joel, is saying, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And listen, he begins poetically to define all flesh. A lot of people think he was defining jurisdiction, that old men would dream dreams, young men would see visions. No, he wasn't restricting. He was defining all flesh poetically. By all flesh, I mean old and young, rich and poor. Come on, are you with me? Male and female. So he said, upon servants and handmaidens, meaning money will not be a restriction. This is why when someone offered money for tongues, Peter said, your money perish with you. Because you thought that with money you could buy these holy sacred gifts. You don't need money. Come on, are you with me? I remember years ago I was in a service and I listened to one of the most beautiful sermons I had heard at the time. It was a special program and the minister of the gospel preached a beautiful sermon about grace. Not saving grace, but you know, the grace of God manifesting in your life in a charismatic way. And I was like, I want this. Shared personal testimonies and I was like, yeah. Then unfortunately, at the end, the minister now said, if you want to tap into this grace, sow a seed of $100. I began to weep. I said, God, you know that if I had that money, I would give it. So you mean this minister is telling me that because I don't have money, there is a type of grace in you that I cannot afford? We don't know the implications of wrong teaching. So now, just imagine everyone sitting, then the rich people coming to tap into grace. You see, you know, ironically, the place was not far from here. And years ago, we walked away. We didn't have a vehicle. On the road, we were just quiet. And I was sad that, maybe there are levels in God. If to say I get money now, make no mistake, I knew it was wrong. But I was just pained in my heart. I was pained in my heart that there was an opportunity to give. I mean, I saw it that way at the time, you know, and I couldn't give. I felt bad. But guess what? There is no price tag on it. Come on, are you with me? He said, even servants and handmaidens. Guess what? Cornelius was a very wealthy man. But when he was hearing the gospel, his servants were with him. And guess what? The Bible says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all that heard. All. So as Cornelius was speaking in tongues, his servants too were matopo topo. Do you understand what I'm saying? God does not scan you, check your wallet, check your bank account to decide whether to fill you with his spirit or not. It is free for all. It has no gender restriction. It says male and female. Please, are you with me? Ladies here, listen to me. Don't let anyone lie to you that your service to God is relegated to ushering and to special care and to welfare. As nice as those things are, you have a part to play in all things that God has to offer in his Christ. Please, are you listening to me? Maybe that is the kind of sermon that Mary and Martha had been listening to that made one to be listening to the word of God and the other one to be bothered in the kitchen. And God said, Martha, you are cumbered about much service. One thing is needful. Please, are you listening to me? See, thank God that you have natural affection. God has gifted women with that. But listen, don't let your gender disqualify you. You can preach. You can cast out devils. You can speak with new tongues. He says male and female. He says old and young. No restriction in God. No restriction in God. And that's why if you have children, start introducing them to the things of God early. Because old men shall dream dreams and young men shall what? Uh-huh. So no age restriction. You know, I was talking to some pastors yesterday and how my father's contribution to my life just really made it easy when God called me. Make no mistake, at the time, I hated it all. I was 12 years old when he made me pray 12-hour stretch. Yes. We thought it was a joke. He tapped us in the morning. He said, we are praying. Let's go and pray. He said, we'll pray till evening. I was whispering to my sister, he's joking, Abby. We finished MFM prayer book. You know that book? Some of you don't. If you know, you know. So, you don't understand. We did 12 hours first day, 10 hours second day, 8 hours third day. I was looking for who would adopt me. I want to run. And Home Alone was raining that time. But now I just look back and I thank God for the investment. I'm not even telling you how long, but I'm just saying, make sure you deliberately invest in your children spiritually, because it is for old and for young. Praise the Lord. My brother was sick as a child. And my parents had tried everything, you know, to meet a particular man of God so that he could pray for the boy. Well, but it wasn't just possible. Admittedly, the man is a busy man. And then one day I was in children's church just watching over him with the help and all of that. And I saw this great man of God, Bishop, walking past. I don't know what came over me. I just grabbed the young boy from the house help and ran to him. And he laid hands on the boy, and his health changed from that day. Are you listening to me? And so, when you teach young people the things of God, you'll be surprised how God will use them. You'll be surprised. Because make no mistake, if an adult is running to the bishop, if he's busy, they will stop him. But imagine me at the age of 9, carrying my baby brother. Which protocol, except you get demon? All of them just say, When I told my mom I had seen the bishop, and she was stunned. Hallelujah. Old men and young men, servants and handmaidens, all flesh. Come on, are you with me? Abby, you be robots. You get flesh. It is for you. Come on, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So he said, this is what the prophet Joel prophesied. No wonder there were 120 people in the upper room and none of them was left out. Because you have to understand, the prophecy was all flesh. Ay, my God. You have to understand. See, from his proof text, you can understand what happened. Not everybody in the upper room was an apostle. Mary was there, but all flesh. It rested on Peter, it rested on James, it rested on all of the all flesh. Don't count yourself out. And then he didn't stop there. Look at verse 38. Follow me now. We're trying to do a Bible study. Verse 38. It says, then Peter said to them, oh my God. So these people saw 120 people speaking tongues. They came, they were curious, and they want to know, well, what do we do now? Peter preached a good sermon, and they want to know, what do we do now? And he said, repent and let everyone be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. Meaning, immediately they came to them, he's telling them what we have experienced, you can experience too.
all flesh. The only requirement is that you are saved. And you shall receive. And he didn't stop there. Verse 39. Everybody read verse 39 as loud as you can. One, two, go. For the promise is to you and to your children and to you who are far off, as many as the Lord will call. Hey, listen to me. You may not have heard this before. The promise is to you. The promise is to you. The promise of the Spirit is a promise God made to you, to you, to you. He says, to you and to your children and to those who are far off. He was talking about us. Does this look like something exclusive? Jesus speaking about the Spirit in Luke chapter 11, verse 11. He says, which of you who is a father will have a son who would ask for bread and instead of a bread, he will give him a stone? Or ask for fish and instead of a fish, he will give him a serpent? If you, being evil, know to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? Jesus is saying, it will be wicked of me as your heavenly Father to withhold the Holy Ghost from you. Jesus said it. And yet some people think it's not for everybody. Jesus said this. We're not making this up. It's right there. If you then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. See, the Holy Ghost is a good gift. Ha! Holy Ghost. I don't know how people cope without the Holy Ghost. What a supernatural advantage he is. Holy Ghost. If I tell stories, we won't live here. He has saved my life many times. I mean that literally. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? In John 7:37, the Bible says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried with a loud voice. If any man thirsts, does this sound like something exclusive? He said, if any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Meaning, listen, if you lack it, it's your fault. Hey. If you lack it, it's your fault. Maybe you've been listening to wrong teachings. Maybe you just didn't know. But the moment you realize it's open, he's calling you out. He's crying and shouting, anybody thirsty? It's just like someone calling out in the kitchen in an African home. Food is ready. Music to your ears, right? You will start hearing the staircase. Tuku, tuku, tuku. Men, they run. This is the kind of invitation God is giving you. If anyone thirsts, if anyone thirsts, come, drink. Meaning, God is not even vetting to see if he will give you or not. You're thirsty? Open the fridge, drink. He that believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow gushes of living water. And the Bible says, this spake he of the Spirit, which them that believe should receive. This Holy Ghost is for everybody. Help me preach it to the person by your side in case, you know, the person's mind wandered. Give the person shuko, a little elbow, not too harsh, but not too soft. Shake the person out of oblivion. Say, it's for you, it's for you. One funny objection that people have that tongues gift is for everybody is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 29. And if you don't read carefully, especially if you don't understand the context, you won't understand what he's saying. He says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? So it's as if he's saying, is it everybody? But look at what he said in the next verse and see if this is not a contradiction to what people think it means. Verse 31. One, two, go, read. But earnestly desire the best gifts. Listen, some people, you can understand why they had maybe D7 in WAEC English. When they see do all, they think it means can all. What this text is saying is the opposite of what people think. So listen, when you follow the whole argument in the next two chapters, what he's actually saying is this. A lot of people speak in tongues. We want more people to interpret tongues. And if you cannot interpret, desire to. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if he's trying to get more people to desire interpretation of tongues and to desire prophecy, it's a contradiction of the fact that not everybody can. Is that simple? I don't know if you... So he's saying the opposite of what people think he's saying. How could he be saying not everybody can and say desire earnestly? He didn't just say desire. He said desire it earnestly. Look at chapter 14, verse 1, very quickly. He says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Listen, it's an instruction to desire spiritual gifts. You are not being pious to be indifferent about it and say, well, if God wants to give me, it's not everybody God gives. Some people speak it don't. And no, he said desire it. Listen, you are disobedient if you don't desire it. So he says desire it, and then he says it's open to all. This service is your service. Thank you, Jesus. I must finish this teaching. Hallelujah. He was trying to bait me. But now, next. Why is speaking in tongues important? This one, oh my God. Unfortunately, a lot of people have reduced speaking in tongues to something a particular denomination does. And in fact, they associate speaking in tongues to, you know, charismatic exuberance. You guys are just extra. Why not just pray in your understanding? Is it really important? First thing I want to say is, it's not quite about you. Yes, it benefits you, but it's not just about you. So listen, follow the flow of thought. I started my discourse from Acts chapter 2, right? And I read the part where he said, these are not drunk as you suppose. And I proved to you from the word of God that means that from a natural observational standpoint, people can see people speaking in tongues genuinely and misunderstand it, right? And then his response after that was, this is what Joel prophesied. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, proving it's for everybody. Now, the next thing he said proves why tongues is important. And everyone who loves Jesus, you can't be indifferent about what I'm about to say. Those of you at the gallery, shout aloud, hallelujah. Yeah, I wanted to be sure you're following me. Look at verse 32 of Acts 2. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 32 of Acts 2. All right, good job. He says, this Jesus, God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Everybody read it. One, two, go. Listen, and look at verse 33. Everybody read verse 33 together. One, two, go. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he poured out. Listen to me. It means that this Holy Spirit and this tongues business is not just the exuberance of some few folks. Tongues is only possible because, number one, it is true Jesus was raised from the dead. Number two, he is exalted. And therefore, being at the right hand of God, he has poured out. He's explaining. This is the first time people spoke in tongues. And he's explaining why it is possible. So meaning when we speak in tongues, we are demonstrating to the spirit realm and to all who understand that Jesus is glorified. Come on, are you with me? That's not a small thing. If it glorifies Jesus, if it glorifies God, that's every reason to do it. Oh, I thought it was just a denominational preference. You mean when I speak in tongues, I am demonstrating that Jesus is exalted? Because according to the promise, it is only when he is exalted that he can shed forth this Holy Spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? So why will I know that there is an activity that can glorify God and be indifferent about it? I dare say it's a sin. You can't be indifferent about tongues when you understand what it represents. So he begins by saying, this Jesus, he's risen from the dead. He's exalted. He's at the right hand of God. And having received of the Father that promised Spirit, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. So every time you have to explain your tongues to the world, this is something you can say. What you see me say, or what you're hearing me say, it is made possible by the glorification of Christ. He died for me. He rose again the third day, and he's at the right hand of God exalted, and he has shed forth. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? Are you aware there is no other spiritual gift that directly points to the glorification of Christ? There is no other. Every other spiritual gift was possible before Jesus died. No spiritual gifts highlight the glorification of Christ like tongues. No other one. People raised the dead before Jesus. Jesus turned water to wine. Moses turned river to blood. Jesus fed many people with few loaves. Elisha did it. Are you aware? Only tongues is exclusive to the glorification of Christ. Therefore, tongues highlights the glorification of Christ. So yeah, there's a member of our church who was listening to the song, Holy Ghost, You and I Will Change the World, and his cleaner was cleaning the house and got to the living room where the song was playing, was cleaning the center table, and the power of God hit her and pinned her to the floor. And she was there for about 30 good minutes, you know, just speaking in tongues and hearing the song for the first time. I think the reason I was telling you that story is because everything that comes from the presence of God saying, and if you have the choice to do things by the power of the Spirit, refuse to do it any other way. Amen, somebody. So you should never be found arguing whether tongues are for today, the power of God is for today. No. Even if it is for some select few, you are the select few. Amen, someone. Did he not say that you are chosen, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people? So never forget that. Why is tongues important? That's the subset, you know, the subheading that I was already talking about. And I quoted Acts chapter 2 from verse 32, where Peter said, this Jesus has God raised up, of which we are all witnesses, and therefore being a you now see and hear. Amen, somebody. Come on, amen, somebody. And I ask you to open 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. I want to read through that as fast as possible. It says that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and knowledge. Say with me, I'm enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Oh, yes, that's my experience. I'm enriched by him in utterance and knowledge. That's my Christian experience. I have a robust spiritual experience in utterance and knowledge, not just in knowledge. Some people know the word of God, but they have no utterance. But now Paul is talking about this Corinthian church, and he's thanking God for them. He says that you are enriched by him. The next verse tells you, he says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. See, and this is what I was saying on my commentary from Acts chapter 2. Speaking in tongues is a confirmation of the testimony of Christ. They saw this guy speaking in tongues, and Peter, in explaining why they could speak in tongues, said, Jesus indeed is glorified. Just as he said he will be, he is. So that act of glossolalia, of speaking in tongues, is a confirmation of the testimony of Christ. And what a privilege it to be able to confirm the testimony of Christ in your life, through your life. Tongues is one of the ways where the testimony of Christ is confirmed. Jesus said he would die, he will rise again, and that he will give us his spirit. And by people speaking in tongues, we can tell, according to Bible prophecy, that the promise has been fulfilled. Say loud, amen. Amen. And so that's not something to be indifferent about. We are talking about the testimony of Christ. We are not talking about denominational preference. We're not talking about charismatic exuberance. We're talking about the testimony of Christ. And just because you're an intelligent person or you're a logical person or you think you are, does not mean that you look at even the excesses of people who overdo it. Mind you, when Paul was saying this, he already knew that there were excesses in the way they were administering tongues. Come on, are you with me? And he was going to correct it much later. But at the core, he could appreciate that these were people to be thankful for, that they are enriched by God in utterance and knowledge. Where the problem is that you had to regulate their excesses of tongues, not to teach. Come on, are you with me? There are some churches you are still trying to persuade people that it is for today and that it is for them. But this church, it was the other extreme. They were doing too much. And Paul had to regulate it. I think that's a better extreme. I would rather we have no extremes, but if you had to choose, enriched by him in all utterance and knowledge, he says the testimony of Christ is confirmed in you. He says that you come behind in no gifts. Hey, my God! I like to give my commentary on that next verse, this verse 7, using a local parlance. Where we say, don't dull. Do you understand? Don't come behind in any gifts. Jesus is coming soon. As soon as Jesus comes, there will be no need for healing. No need for tongues and interpretation. No need. So this is the time to demonstrate the power of God. He says, don't come behind in any gifts, waiting for the coming or the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. As soon as he comes, you won't be able to use it anymore. Use it now. Don't come behind. Don't dull. Help me nudge the person by your side. I mean, or what is left of the person after the fire. And say, don't come behind in any gift. If you know they speak in tongues, where are you going to speak in tongues? Don't. Jesus is coming soon. Oh. Now is the time. Demonstrate the power of God in your day. Hallelujah. See Paul healing church members. Yeah, I know they tall. You're not coming behind in any gifts. Meaning, they're not even rationing. They come behind in no gifts. No gifts. Imagine you could look at your life and then there is no gift, no provision of the Spirit missing there. Revelation you get. Utterance you get. Power you get. Faith you get. Miracles, everything. And that's for everybody. Listen, the Bible says they were in the upper room and suddenly there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind. Guess what? They all heard it. Cloven tongues. Wait. Cloven tongues as on fire fell on the head of everyone. How did they know? They all saw it. If it was one person seeing it, he wouldn't have seen the one on his own head. And now you have insisted your own will be different, not you. We insist on your behalf. You must be filled with the spirits. Amen, somebody. Oh my God, that's so good. I'm not coming behind in any gift. I'm not coming behind in any gift. You are in the boat. Your mates left, walked on water. You will go back and tell the story. When I no go believe. Me? No. Not me. Not me. Not me! Glory to God! Not coming behind in any gifts. Thank you, Jesus. One thing that Peter made reference to as I begin to wrap this up. One thing that Peter made reference to repeatedly was the word, the promise. What did I call it, please? He said, the promise is to you and to your children. He also said, he being at the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Spirit. And that means he was talking to people who knew there was a promise. They may not have known what the promise was and how they were to receive it, but they knew there was a promise. And that means he must have been making reference to the Old Testament scriptures. Meaning when you read the Old Testament, you must find promises of what God will do in his Christ and through the Spirit. Amen, somebody. Do you understand what I'm saying? And this is why, for instance, when Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus about salvation, he said, as Moses lifted up the brazen serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. This tells us something very important about Old Testament interpretation. Now follow this closely. It means that in the Old Testament, there were many events, past events, that were a prophetic imagery of future redemption. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when Moses lifted up the brazen serpent, he was lifting it for a very practical present problem. But that story will also have a future redemptive significance. That all these people, all they needed to do to be healed of their wounds was to look at the brazen serpent. So that's what salvation will be. Not of works, just by faith in Christ who was lifted up on your behalf. Amen, somebody. You see the prophetic imagery there. And so another place where you see a lot of prophetic imagery is the exodus of the children of Israel from Egypt. There's a lot of prophetic imagery there. A lot of people do not know that the Passover is one of the biggest metaphors on salvation. Please pay attention to this. The first thing is this. The children of Israel were not going to be saved because they were children of Israel. They were going to be saved because there was blood on their lintel. The angel of death doesn't respect gender, doesn't respect tribe, doesn't respect. The only thing he respects is blood. The blood of atonement. When I see the blood, I will what? So meaning, if the Egyptians had known, the only problem is they had not heard. If they had known and they had slaughtered lambs and put the blood on their lintels, they would have been saved. Any family in Israel did not have the blood on their lintel, they would have been in trouble. So that is a metaphor of salvation. That what gets us saved is the blood. Not your ethnicity, not your background, not who you are, not what you have. The only thing that will get us saved is the blood. For there is no other name, come on everybody, given under heaven by which men should be saved, but by what? The name of Jesus. So follow the metaphor now.
The Passover representing salvation. Egypt representing sin. Now, they are translated from that kingdom of sin through the Red Sea, a metaphor of baptism. I'm not making this up. All of these things have been explained in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 10, the Bible says the children of Israel were baptized into the cloud unto Moses. So the exodus through the river was a metaphor of baptism. Are you with me? That's what Passover represented. And the crossing of the Red Sea represented. And now, there is another feast that a lot of people do not understand. The feast was supposed to be celebrated 7 Sundays after the Passover. How many days are in a week? So, 7 days in a week times 7 weeks is how many days? 49, right? Now, the next day after, there's a Greek word, and the translation of that Greek word in English is what we call Pentecost. Pentecost means 50. Please, are you with me? Pentecost means 50, and this is God's promise. And there's a lot to explain here, but I'll rush through it. Please follow me. And I have just a few minutes for this. While the Passover represented God saving you from your enemies and bringing you out of darkness into his marvelous light, salvation and redemption, the Pentecost will be a celebration of you entering the promised land and you eating the fruits of God's promise. So this is it. The Pentecost was also called Feast of Fat Things. And it was actually an agricultural festival. And this is the idea. God is saying, I will bring you into the promised land. And when I've eaten of the trees of that good land, in thanksgiving, you will give some of those trees back to me. Do you understand? To say, Lord, thank you. This is what you gave us. Are you getting this? Now, many years after, every year, the children of Israel are celebrating the Passover and they're celebrating Pentecost. It's a Jewish feast every year. Then on this particular year, exactly Friday evening, the exact time where all the Jewish families are slaughtering their lambs in their own houses, Jesus is being crucified. Before that happened, in celebrating the Passover, he lifts up the bread. He says, this is my body. What you have been doing was a metaphor, a prophetic metaphor of what was about to happen to me. I am the Lamb of God, broken for you. Amen, somebody? And now that happened. It is fulfilled. And then when he rises from the dead, according to the Jewish feast, 7 weeks after is supposed to be what? Pentecost. So 7 weeks after, then the next day, 49 days, then the next day, Pentecost, right? So when he says, tarry in Jerusalem, some of you are already getting it. The reason a lot of people need to understand this is because if you don't understand what that was to fulfill, you would think Jesus was just saying, oh, the Holy Spirit, you think you can just get the Holy Spirit like this? Go and tarry. That's not what he was saying. If you are going to journey on foot, physically, from Egypt, in about 49 days, you will be in the promised land. The only reason it took them years was their sin and their disobedience. So according to God's timeline, he brings them out of Egypt. 49 days after, they are in the promised land. The next day, they are already eating the fruit of the land. That was his timetable. And so he's saying, I have celebrated a feast for you to commemorate my salvation and for you to commemorate the fulfillment of my promise. You are already eating the good of the land and offering seed or fruit of that tree in thanksgiving. So now, in the fulfillment, he says, wait. The people is telling wait, they wait anyway.
He's just telling them to wait for the true fulfillment of that promise, the real Pentecostal experience. And as they were waiting, suddenly there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind. They were filled with the Spirit. And of that Spirit they had received, they could offer the fruit of their lips, thanking God in glossolalia, in other tongues. Like, this is the fruit of your redemptive work in Christ. And I am giving back to you thanks in a way that will only be possible because of what you have done. Again, what I'm explaining is why tongues is necessary. It is not a denominational preference. We are taking of what God gave us to say, see, what you did was worth it, and we approve. And so we are thanking you in a way that people who are not part of the ecclesia, they have no part in this. Any other prayer, people can mimic in religion. Not this one. Glory to God. Not this one. Not this one. Not this one. And by the way, the Pentecost has been fulfilled, and so no one will have to wait anymore. No one will have to wait. Jesus said, if you are thirsty, come and drink. Does that seem like waiting to you? He that is thirsty, come and drink. As the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. There's an old song that says, he is here right now. There's no need to wait. There's no need to beg. His Spirit is in our midst for all to receive. He is here right now to meet every need. Hallelujah. Is that true in your life? Right there where you are, begin to pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. He is here right now. There's no need to wait. There's no need to beg. His Spirit is in our midst for all to receive. He is here right now to meet every day. We have come unto you, Lord. We have come unto you, Lord. We have come to the Father. We have come to renew strength. We have come unto you, Lord. Yeah, we have come to the Father. We have come to renew strength. We have come unto you, Lord. We have come unto you, Lord. We have come to Jehovah. We have come to the Father.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Please stand to your feet.
Like I said, next week,
Don't forget miracle service, right? And then we'll put some final touches to this. There are some things I need to explain still on this tongues matter, just so that it will be a conviction in you forever. But for today, I want a great sense of appreciation to dawn on your heart for all who have the Holy Ghost. You have what money cannot buy. This is the fruit of redemption. He says, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall speak with new tongues. Are you grateful to be part of the number right now? Are you grateful to be in the number right now? So if before you never really understood it, of all the other things that tongues does, building up yourself and your most holy faith, you know, rising up as an edifice, just the appreciation and the acknowledgement, your Savior, He's at the right hand of God exalted. He has shed forth this which you now see and hear. If you're here and you don't pray in the Spirit, as we begin to pray in the Spirit, all you need to do is just hold the two people by your side. And if you are born again, you have to understand, oh my God! Time. You have to understand, it is the same Holy Spirit by whom you are saved that fills you. Meaning, if you are born again, what you need to be filled is already inside you. Because to be born again means to be born of the Spirit. And so literally, to be filled of the Spirit, you just take from what you already have and rub it all over you. That's all. That's what we call taking from within and putting upon. That's all it is. Because to be born again is to be swimming in a pool. The water is the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit, all you need to do is open your mouth, let the water enter you. It's the same pool. He's the baptizer. John promised. John said, I baptize with water. He that is coming is mightier than I. He will baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And Jesus said, it is impossible to ask for this and not receive. It's impossible. He said, you cannot have a son, ask his father for bread and he will give him stone. Meaning, if you are born again, you just say, Holy Spirit, thank you for the promise. I have received the promise. It is by that promise being fulfilled that I am saved. Right now, with this new understanding, I know what I have in you and I use what I have in you. And right now, I'm full of your Spirit. I receive the gift of utterance. And right now, just like Peter stepping out of the boats, I step out of my doubt and my bias, and I begin to pray in the Spirit. So as you are doing that, every other person, thank God for the gift of the Spirit. The testimony of Christ is confirmed in you. Thank him in other tongues. Thank him in other tongues. Thank him in other tongues. Hey. 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 Tamina minokopali haika sopele mapo pretevia. Shendo coponde le capala popre rete capale presso prende cande kinda sandendo bende cape barasondre che pelea shandere che pele rosondre che pele tabe barasondre rasotre kepa bash shande capale topre sepele manokai alla mane compre teca palletende le combe le taminaia shande capello coprete brasondre che pelero alle cai fatope fatele mando assotte palo coprete zato embecato prete catong
sondre che belle tekea ashande le menendo prete fatema vele palo kaya vele mando mbresatea vele mato pretekema vele teke menonde retula vate menonde retuka paya vate ke patro setre kabe vale manora to presate manehai vakaya ke ke samano bele maniai kabe nanama teya Sopene, satele, satemano, ebeloka, tepelohai. Seyama, kimano, yeah. Sapema mopila mahai. Out of the mouth of babes, you have perfected praise. If you need to hold someone by your side, do it now. Kashata bakai, kambalaton presapele, balamataba. Yeah. Kamano minano kopeta binano pilato trekai. Kalamano kopa trastife zu. Say yo hey ariani riana na nombre tapina mai kababa kababa la manano bo say yo hey kababa la mano Semeno, 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 kapa, topa hamina, oh, 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 Nekumina amino setine sopina no kopine kote krikai shate kapale mandekai. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He said the promise is to you and to your children. The promise is to you and to your children. Just in case you are waiting, did you not hear what he said? He said, if you are thirsty, drink. You are waiting for him, he's waiting for you. He said, if you are thirsty, drink. Drink, brother. Drink. Drink, sister. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Living water. Out of your belly. Hey. Hey. Ha. Hey. Kapapo prekamina minohate sai. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. These are not drunk as you suppose. This is what the prophet Joel prophesied. I will pour out
My spirit on all flesh, says the Lord. Sons and daughters will prophesy. The prophecy of Joel is fulfilled in my life. The prophecy of Joel is fulfilled in my life. I'll never lack utterance. 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 And I have this advantage in God. When I don't even know what to say, when I'm going through things that my intelligence cannot comprehend, as I go into the place of prayer and begin to speak in other tongues, stirring up myself, utterance will well up from my spirit. Hey, 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 groanings that cannot be uttered. Hey, sounds and sights, things to see and things to do. And mysteries are demystified. Secrets are revealed. Answers are received. This is the advantage of the spirits. He said, these signs follow us who believe. Thank you, Father. These signs. Hallelujah. Don't forget, in the upper room, they didn't just speak, they saw. Sometimes as you are praying, you begin to see something. And if you are not sensitive, you don't know what you saw. It looked like an image just flashed. Or someone just came to mind. Let me tell you something. When you are in the place of prayer, anything in your mind must be investigated. Because some of you have been functioning in the prophetic and you didn't know. You are praying and someone you have not thought about in years just comes to mind. Investigate that. Investigate. The first time it happened to me, it happened by accident. I was praying. I've told you this story several times. And I saw one of what is a pastor now in our church. I just saw someone in a vision. I knew it was his father, even if I'd never seen his father at the time. And his father, a door was opened unto him and he was dancing into the door. When he got close to the door was shut. So after the prayer, I called him and I said, sorry, this is what I saw. The next day, his mom called me. Said, man of God, what did you say you saw? That is exactly what we are going through. We had been praying for a promotion in the office. And he was given last week. When we were still celebrating, it was revoked. Exactly what I saw. But guess what? If I didn't ask, I wouldn't have known what I saw was supernatural. I would have thought I was praying and something just came to mind. You are saying something told me, something. Why didn't something used to tell you before you got born again? If you are not careful, you won't know it's the operation of the spirit. You might not see numbers. The Lord just tells you. The Bible says they were praying and Agabus signified by the spirit. There will be a drought. I was in a prayer meeting not far from here. Four of us in the meeting. When we're done, one of them lifted up his head. He came from the U.S. for that meeting. He said, the Lord told me, this was years ago when dollar was still 300 to 1. The Lord told me that in the next 1 month, the exchange rate will be 500 to 1. He said, so every one of you start making financial investments with this information. 1 month after it happened, I was there. In a small meeting with four people. This is someone who is not really vast with economics. He's not even, he had been out of the country for more than 20 years. He just came for that prayer meeting. See, there are advantages that God wants to open your spirit to. Advantages. You might already have been making an error. You might have made a decision. As you are praying, you will see the Lord correct you. This is your advantage. This is your advantage. I want you to do this prophetically just for the next few seconds. You say, Lord, thank you for this advantage, this privilege. I don't take it for granted. And you speak in tongues and thank him. Speak in tongues and thank him. Speak in tongues and thank him.
Thank him. Thank him for this advantage. This advantage will show forth in my life. Hey! Thank you for this advantage. This supernatural advantage. These signs. These signs. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We give you the praise and the glory. We give you the praise and the glory. Thank you. Thank you. Like I said, you see, Paul told Timothy, he says, if you continue in these things, your profiting will appear to all. We've said it's a month of prayer. We are not in your house to see if you are praying or not. But if you pray, it will show. So I want to beg you, don't get comfortable snoozing your alarm clock. Pray. Tomorrow morning, see you on our prayer platform tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening. You know, make 1 week your target first, and we will take it from there. Thank you, Lord. Make 1 week your target first, and we will take it from there. Jesus. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed today? Just give Jesus praise. Give him praise one more time. Give him praise one more time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.